Thank you for joining us here on the City Gospel Movement podcast. This is our conclusion, part two, with Chuck Proudfit, who is the founder of At Work on Purpose. And their goal is that everyone feels that they are the hands and feet of Christ at work. Chuck, thank you so much for joining us. Can you share with us just a little bit about how that feels for you, that aha, like, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing?
For me, it comes in two expressions. One expression is a temporary state of euphoria when something really happens. God moves and it's amazing. You're like, wow. It also comes when I'm feeling exasperation. I'm like, okay, I am done. And then this little voice inside of me says, no, you're not. I call you. This is what you're supposed to be doing, regardless of whether you're happy or not.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'll quickly give you an example of each. One example would be over the last year or so, we've been able to assemble a learning community in Greater Cincinnati of local church pastors who are interested in the idea of work-life ministry. It's taken over a decade for us to get the local church to a tipping point or a critical mass of interest in the idea of faith at work. And we had a session recently where I was bringing these pastors up one after the next and interviewing them as they shared their stories about their first steps in work-life ministry. And I felt like that proud parent who's at a recital for a young child who's getting up to play an instrument. And although it may not be perfect or complete or anything like that, nonetheless, you're like, wow, my child is learning how to play a musical instrument. Well, this is what it felt like for me. These pastors are starting to embrace the idea that work is an arena for ministry and that they can integrate that in their local churches and that they can look at the congregants, not just as people who, you know, volunteer for their ministries inside the local church, but rather that they're an expression of the church out in the day-to-day work world. Well, it was a wonderful moment for me, and it was over a decade in the making. So that's euphoria. Now, exasperation, what that often looks like for me is when I see a person, a ministry, or a local church or an organization that I know could be doing so much for the Lord, but it's not. Let me give you one quick specific example. I work as a business consultant, and to me, this is just part of my marketplace ministry journey. And I have a client right now that is in the business of making specialty envelopes. These would be like the envelopes that hold hotel key cards or banking envelopes. The CEO is a Christian. And I came to a meeting recently for this company, and the whole leadership team was asking for my strategic advice on their brand new initiative. They wanted to focus a whole bunch of energy around recreational and medical marijuana because there's so much business to be had with envelopes that you can make for it. And I sat there the way that you do when you're a working Christian and you're thinking to yourself, okay, I know some of the side effects and the implications of all this. And the driving motive here isn't about how are we serving the world through the products and services. It's about how can we make the most money we can possibly make regardless of the consequences or the implications. Well, that's really hard, you know, if you're somebody like me and you want to be able to speak more into this, and the leader, the ultimate decision maker of this business is Christian, but he's disconnecting his faith from his work. And I have been able to have some conversations with him, and he's entertained them, but it hasn't changed the strategy at all inside of the business. And to me, it goes beyond disappointing. It's exasperating, but that's just part of my job. It's like Daniel in the lion's den, right? I just need to speak out for what I believe, and I have to leave the outcomes to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a slow road sometimes, and that feels overwhelming. I think it's so great for all of us to hear and for some of us to rehear just your hope and vision for how people view their work. And I know that in conversations you and I have had in the past of just that, you know, their life with Christ should be similar inside and outside of their work life. And so I would love to just hear your perspective on that for everybody to understand.
Yes. I get so excited when I get the opportunity to talk to working Christians about what it looks like to truly become the church in the working world. So many of us are raised up inside of the church to think of church as a place. So it's somewhere that we go on the weekends, and it's inside four walls. And it doesn't mean that there isn't an important ministry happening inside the local church, or that there aren't missions initiatives that flow out from the local church. So I celebrate all of that. However, most working Christians, we spend most of our waking hours at work. The form of ministry that's in front of us is not programmatic. It's not the traditional kind that you see out of a local church, where there's a certain mission or missional initiative, and there are roles that volunteers fill, and there's some kind of a leader, and everything's organized. What this looks like is like what I just described, where I show up at a client meeting, and there's a real ethical question on the table, and how do I speak into that for the client? Mm-hmm. Or if I'm bringing a topic to students, and I know that I'm making an important impression in a young mind, what am I going to say? Or I'm a janitor and I'm cleaning a facility, and I may feel like my work has no purpose other than just the obvious, you know, material or physical benefit that the place is cleaner after I do my work. But then when you talk to those same people and you start to open their eyes to the reality that no matter what kind of job that we have, when we are interacting with other people, we have ministry opportunities in different jobs with different employers in different industries. And when I can start to describe to people how dramatic an impact we could potentially have. For example, I think of Chick-fil-A in the fast food industry. You know, for many people, they may just think of it as a fast food place that's well-run and makes a lot of money. I look at it as a company that's discipling the entire fast food industry. And in marketplace language, the way that happens is that they establish best practices that attract others who want to emulate that current best approach. But in reality, when they study and then emulate what Chick-fil-A is doing, Chick-fil-A is discipling them as a result.
Yeah, interesting.
That is so exciting to me. And I tell working Christians so often, they'll come to me and say, I want to quit my job and go into ministry. And that just kills me, because they don't see the ministry in their everyday work. And I remind them, if all of us just worked inside local churches or parachurch organizations or on the mission field, where would the church be when it's time to decide something critical with an end-of-life decision in a medical institution? And what's the right choice to make? What would God say about that choice that a surgeon's going to make, or a teacher's going to make, or a judge is going to make, or a president is going to make?
Yeah, I think that is so great, Chuck. Oftentimes people don't want to celebrate the failures that we go through, but they are traditionally the things that get us to the next success. Can you share with us a failure that at the time felt just terrible, but now you can look back and go, oh, that got me to the next thing?
Sure. Why not?
Be vulnerable, Chuck. You can do it.
Well, I'm laughing because I'm like, where do I start? Well, I'll give you a couple. One that you'll relate very much to. I remember Kevin Palau was in the Ohio area, and he's been such a wonderful friend and colleague, and had asked if I would bring some people together at my home where he could get a chance to meet them and share some of what the Palau Association's doing. And I was delighted to do that. I mean, it was really a joy. And Kevin shares the story of many cool things that are happening in Portland and some of the ways that he's connecting people around the country. And he gets done with what I thought was just an excellent presentation. He wants to open the floor for dialogue. And all these leaders that I'd invited, they just sat there and looked at it. It was the most unpleasant, awkward silence. And these are people, Stephanie, that I know. They're chatterboxes. They are strategists and all this. I'm like, what just happened here? Why are these people? And I realized that their felt needs in Cincinnati, we have a lot of issues when it comes to city reaching, were different from the ones Kevin had described. And I could have been the convener who built a bridge where I had, on the front end, kind of described to Kevin, for example, hey, where these people are going to be coming from is going to be stuff like racial reconciliation and, you know, economic justice and stuff like that, as opposed to other topics that you could discuss. And I didn't do that. And so Kevin, I've never had this conversation with Kevin, but I'm sure he'd say, yeah, remember that night at Chuck's house for dessert.
Radio silence.
Yes. when instead you'd love to have an engaged conversation. And similarly, I didn't think that I would need to sort of prep this audience beforehand and say, look, I want you to think ahead and bring questions. This is a thought leader. This is a guy that is really making some waves around the country. And this is a chance for you to just directly interact with them. And instead, I think they just showed up to hear him and they weren't really prepared for the opportunity. And I could have done better on both ends to stimulate or to spark a conversation. So that's one example. One other quick example, since you asked, and is in this space of what we're calling city gospel movements. Some others call it city reaching, city transformation, whatever. In 2011, I brought hundreds of people together to kind of cast some vision for reaching the city of Cincinnati spiritually with the marketplace, the working world, as a point of inception for all of that work. And I'm so excited about that idea of how the marketplace can be such an integral player in that effort. Well, what happened, Stephanie, was I excited maybe 5% of the audience and I blew the fuse box on 95%. I mean, it was overwhelming. A lot of these people are like, oh my gosh, I'm struggling to figure out how to bring Christ to my cubicle, and you're telling me we need to bring Christ to the city? I mean, it was just too much for them to ignore. I forgot to recognize that I think in the future. I'm naturally a visionary, and if there's a challenge in front of me, it doesn't stop me from taking the next step. But for many people, until they can see more of a paved pathway, they're not going to start walking down the path. I'm one of these trailblazer types that there's no path, so let's just start, you know, let's find a weed whacker.
Right, right.
Clearing the underbrush, right? And afterwards, I'm like, wow, I could have done this differently. What I should have done was to assemble that 5% and then gradually build out a pathway that eventually we could invite some others to join us on. I've learned from that mistake, but it was a doozy.
Oh, thank you for sharing those. I think it's just so important that we celebrate the failures equally as much as the successes, because we have to be willing to fail in those moments and have awkward silence and not give up on what you feel that you are supposed to be doing. Chuck, I think it's just so amazing what you've been able to do with At Work on Purpose, and that you are bivocational. You also run a consulting business. What are your dreams for the next 5-10 years for At Work on Purpose? What keeps you going in this space, the dream that you have out there to fulfill?
Thank you for asking. I love talking about the dream. Most people get overwhelmed, and so I don't talk about it that much, except when I'm with the right audiences. But I would tell you that when it comes to At Work on Purpose, I have some real dreams. I believe that this is where God wants us to go. And I think there is what I'll call a local and a global expression of that dream. The local expression. In Greater Cincinnati, we have about 2 million people. And of those, about 1 million are working or looking for work. And of those, about 350,000 are self-identified as working Christians. We have a dream. We describe it as a big, holy, audacious goal, that a day will come when all 350,000 working Christians in Greater Cincinnati are integrating faith and work. Because I know that when the day comes that that's happening, we won't just transform the marketplace in Greater Cincinnati. We will transform the city of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
beautiful.
Man, if you cut my wrists, I would bleed that. I mean, that thought alone is so exciting to me. The other thing that is part of that dream, and it's really starting to happen, even with the blessing of a conversation like this with you, we built At Work on Purpose from the inside out. What I mean by that is we didn't originally envision it as anything but a ministry community inside of Cincinnati. What ended up happening, though, was that it's been such a neat prototype, if I can call it that, and it's created such an integrated, cohesive, and effervescent community of working Christians that we've started to attract a lot of attention from people who are outside Cincinnati who look at this and they say, wow, we want that in our city. This is new for us, but we've been, over the last few years, starting to build infrastructure so that we can share the things that we're doing in Greater Cincinnati so that others can use it as well, with the dream that a day would come when there's what we would call citywide marketplace ministry in all cities, not just in our neck of the woods or in a few select places where you have this kind of an integrated community of faith.
Oh, I think those are fantastic visions, Chuck, and you know, such an example of what can happen when you just keep pursuing and persevering through something that you feel really, like what you said, you know, if somebody cut your wrist, you would bleed this. Like, you feel so passionate about it, and we can tell. It's really beautiful expression. One of the things that I love hearing from people that we talk to is, what would you say is the best advice that you've been given in this space? Something that you really, just a phrase or a moment of encouragement that somebody gave you that you really hang on to?
Yes. And that advice would be, never despise small beginnings.
Amen. I love that.
You know, for so many people, when you start to think about the possibilities in the marketplace ministry movement or in faith at work, if you really stop and look at all the things that could be different, it can feel overwhelming. It would be as if you were a castaway on a desert island and you're rescued. And then the next day you walk into a supermarket where you were starving yesterday, and today you have all these food choices and you're paralyzed. It's like there's so much, it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't even know how to pick from 15 different flavors of soda pop when I haven't had any for 8 years on that desert island. My point is that I have found with working Christians that if I can join them right where they are and just take a first step of faith in the working world, then that person's in position to take the next step. And over time, they'll take many more steps and their pace will accelerate. But it's the critical nature of that first step of faith. Never despise small beginnings.
That's fantastic. That's a perfect way to finish today. Thank you so much, Chuck. And if people want to get a hold of you and find out more about At Work on Purpose, where do they go?
Just our website, atworkonpurpose.org. If they review the site, there's information on there. There's a contact us button. We always follow up with people promptly if they email us. There's also an 800 number, 800-513-9580.
Chuck, always a pleasure to talk with you. Your energy and your excitement in this space is just contagious. And so we can't wait to see what God does in helping you pursue those dreams. So thanks so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really enjoyed this.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Well, that is it for us, the City Gospel Movement podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we'll look for you next time.